We're in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We're going to start with verse 54, and then we're going to drop down to verse 57 and verse 58. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just thankful for today, the blessings you've given us. Lord, we're just so thankful for the beautiful spring and this beautiful day that you've provided. And Lord, that we may honor and glorify you. Lord, as we sing praises and to worship you and to recall the things that you've said to us in your word, Lord, that we'll be faithful serving you, Lord, knowing that you will reward those that are serving you in a faithful way. Lord, we're so thankful for all you've done for us, thankful for the victory you've gained for us. Ask you to forgive me of the sins I've committed against thee. Ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Title of my message is Victory Through Jesus. We're going to look a little bit at some of the rewards that we get when Jesus returns also. Had an opportunity to be gone, went camping this week. Joyce and I pray for her. She's not feeling great. And that was my week, and enjoyed the beauty that God has created. This morning we're going to talk about the victory we have through Jesus Christ. We have talked about the Bible and what it tells us about God, and how that we need to know who God is, and it tells us about God. Then we talked about the cross and what Jesus has done for us, and how that through his sacrifice we can become a child of God. And after we're saved, the Bible tells us obviously we should serve him, be obedient. We talked about acceptable and reasonable service after we're a child of God. This morning we're going to talk about how the Bible tells us about the victory that Jesus has given us through the cross, and how that he is going to also reward us. A couple of verses, but in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, it's kind of interesting. I'm going to turn there just real quick because there's a couple of verses. Verse 7, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Behold, I come quickly. Keep the sayings, be obedient, right? And then if you drop down to verse 12, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to them according as his work shall be." And then verse 20, he also says, "Surely I come quickly. Amen, or so be it." And then John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That should be our attitude. We want Jesus to come. He says he's coming, and he is going to reward those that are obedient to him. And so we find that in our text verse, we talk about the victory we have in Jesus Christ. This chapter is about the resurrection. It's also about our glorified bodies and our, you know, the final victory. We have been, when we are saved, when we ask Jesus to save us, our spirit is made alive. His spirit bears witness with our spirit and dwells us that we are the child of God. And then our soul, which is our mind or conscience, that is the part that is saved through sanctification, the choices we make every day. The flesh, that's the last thing that is going to be changed, and that is the victory it's talking about here. Death is swallowed up in victory. When this corruptible, this flesh that's going to, you know, die and wither, and it's already withering. I look older today than I did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and that's the effect of sin, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption, the mortal shall put on immortality. That is what Jesus has done for us. Death is swallowed up in victory. And that is a quote of Isaiah 25:28. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all the faces. Now that's a future event, right? And this death swallowed up in victory, we getting our glorified bodies. For the Lord hath spoken it. This is a prophecy. It's going to happen. The other verse, we use verse 54. We also use 57 as our text. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that this is present tense. Gives us the victory as we live our life for Him today. We can have victory through Jesus Christ. Doesn't say it'll be easy, but we can have victory through Him. I like what Romans 8:37 says. Nay, in all things we're more than conquerors. And that word means to gain a divisive victory. So we're more than conquerors, victors, through Him that loved us. And then in verse 58, so we have the victory. The ultimate victory will be this mortal, this flesh will put in immortality. But in the meantime, we can have victory through Jesus Christ as we live in this flesh, in obedience, the process of sanctification, be obedience to Him. And it says, therefore, because of this, my beloved brethren, there are some things that we should be doing. Be steadfast, right? Don't be movable. Don't be wishy-washy. Be obedient to the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's not just what we believe, it is also what we do for the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain or worthless or empty in the Lord, and we're going to talk about what that means, about being vain or empty, that it has purpose, that our work will be rewarded by Jesus Christ when He returns. Revelation 22, He said, hold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. So it's kind of interesting. The word crown in that last one has... the last stained glass has a crown on it. And the word crown is used 22 times in the New Testament. We think of a crown today as someone who is a king, right? Someone who is a ruler, a crown. But it's interesting, that Greek word is diadem. And so that word is only used 3 times. So there's a different word for crown used 19 times. So we'll talk about that. And 2 of the times is talked about the Antichrist and this evil alliance of kings that's going to come about in the tribulation, and who that's going to be. It's going to be 10 nations, and some people think it's going to be Europe. But whoever it is, it talks about 7 crowns. That there's going to be multiple kings. And it's interesting today that there are people who, you know, countries have kings. We have King Charles, and there's other countries that have kings. Our nation is one who began, right, as England came over. We had a king and fought over that unfair representation. But kings and presidents and people and leaders want to have power, and there is no one king. One of the last verses of the Bible talks about Jesus being King of Kings, right? And Lord of Lords. And so we find that there is this conglomerate of nations, and it describes them as having these crowns upon their heads. And then also, it's the same group, also in chapter 13, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon the horns are 10 crowns. So it's interesting here, there's 10 crowns, and before there were 7 crowns. I don't know. This is the world and how it's going to look during the tribulation, and my goal this morning isn't to figure that out, just to show you where that is. But the other place that it is listed is at the end, Jesus is going to come back, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head, this is talking about Jesus, were many crowns, and this is that king crown. And he had a name that was written that no man knew but himself. Those are the only three places that that king, as we understand, leader of a nation, or nations, or however you see that, is described there. We find that the second use of crown, and I know I'm going to butcher this, but it is Stephanophilus or something like that. Not the Sesame Street animal. Sorry. That's kind of what it sounds like. But this is when it talks about crown. So three times it's diadem or king. 19 times it is made reference to this crown, which is a victor's crown. Which is talking about, in New Testament times, this crown was given to those who won the victory as a symbol of success, whether it be a military conflict or in an athletic contest. Often the crown was constructed of leaves or oak leaf branches, kind of like this, or pine tree branches. Sometimes they would be dipped in gold or something like that. But it's the prize for winning the victory. That is, so when you read crown, unless you're in those last three places in Revelation, it is this victory crown. And in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says this, "Know ye not that they which run a race," or "which run in a race, run all." So he's talking about an athletic competition. Now, I don't know if you were ever in athletic competition, but he says, "One receiveth the prize." So run that ye may obtain. And we understand that not just one is going to receive the crown, but we need to run. And he says, every man that strive for mastery is temperate in all things he exercises, and how that he does that. And so he compares the Christian walk in our Christian service as running a race. And at the end of that race, there's going to be a prize. And he talks about us also. He says, "Now they which run this race, they obtain a corruptible crown," you know, oak leaves or whatever, even if it's gold in heaven. You know how important gold is in heaven? It's paving, right? It's you know, the most precious thing here for us is just, you know, we throw it down on the ground in heaven to walk on it. He says, "Now they obtain a corruptible crown, but we who Christian walk in trying to run our race, an incorruptible crown, an incorruptible reward," right? And Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And so we find that this victory that we do in this life, we have victory in Jesus, more than conquerors, right? In our obedience, we can obtain this incorruptible crown. So before we talk about that, I want to talk about Jesus and the crowns that it talks about that Jesus has. There's a couple of verses in Hebrews that are pretty powerful. It says, "Thou madest him," talking about Jesus Christ, "a little lower than the angels, madest him when he took on the form of man. Thou crownest him," and that word again is victory. That's the victor's crown, not the king's crown. Thou crownest him because he's going to win the victory. You crown him with glory and honor because he is going to win the victory. We have victory through Jesus Christ. Death is swallowed up in his victory. And death did set over him the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things into subjection under his feet. Now we know that that has not yet happened. God has promised that that will happen. It's going to happen in the future. He left nothing that is not put under him. That's the promise. But now we see not yet all things, right, put under him. But we see Jesus. I love that verse. I love that statement. The world, they don't have a clue about Jesus. They don't have a clue about the real. You ask people, who is Jesus, the historic, whatever, you get all kinds of answers. But we see Jesus, hopefully, the way the Bible sees Jesus, the way God presents Jesus. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels, coming in humanity, yet still deity, for the suffering of death, crowned, again, that victor's crown, with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, that he should win the victory and not just be king. You got to win the victory first and taste death so that we can have victory through Jesus Christ. And it's kind of interesting, but we, mankind, crown Jesus not with honor and glory like God did, right? Even though he came into Jerusalem riding on a colt and they put the palm trees down and they held him as king, yet when it came time for him to be crucified, they put a crown of thorns upon him, and they plaited or put upon him a crown of thorns and a reed in one hand, and they bowed their knee. They mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Someday, that will be real.
Amen.
Okay? Not today. Now, he's sitting in heaven, not as king, but as mediator. And he wants us to pray to him, and so that we can have victory over death through him. And so, for just a moment, I want to look at some verses that talk about this future rewards and the fact that Jesus is coming back and he is going to reward us, and what that looks like. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 5, it says, "If any man strive for masteries, for the prize," that's literally what it means, for the athletic prize, "yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." Now, in 1972, I've always enjoyed basketball. In 1972 in the Olympics, there was the Americans playing the Russians. Most of you aren't going to remember this, right? But I remember it because I was watching it, and the Russians lost that basketball game. And a Russian official was over the basketball thing, and he went up, and they put time on the clock. Anybody remember this? Anyone? Any old people? Okay. I got one person. And they put time on the clock, and they threw the ball in, and they missed, and they lost. They did it again. Okay? And this time, they threw the ball down, the guy caught it, and threw a lucky, and made it. So, because of that, the U.S. won silver. Now, they have not claimed their silver even today, because they believe, and in anybody who watches that, you can Google it, believe they won the gold. You got to strive lawfully. That's what it says, right? According to the rules. Can't make up rules as we go. There was a gymnast this year in the Olympics that won, and then the head got involved, and they changed the rules, and then she ended up losing. You got to, you know, it's not fair. Now, we live in a corrupt world, right? Jesus is going to be very fair how he applies the rules. A few years ago, it's been quite a few now, it's probably 20, there was someone who, a woman who won the Boston Marathon. You remember this? And she won it in record time. Come to find out, I can't remember, at about the seventh mile, I can't remember if she got on a bike or got in a car. Either way, at mile 19, she got off the bike or got out of the car, and she won. But she didn't play by the rules. A marathon is running, not riding or in a car or a bike, right? And so they took it away from her. So we have to, it says here, Paul says, if a man is going to strive for masteries, if we want to be rewarded by Jesus Christ, we have to do it lawfully. What does that mean? By what Jesus wants us to do. It's kind of interesting, and I didn't do this verse because I did it after I thought of it later. In Acts 19, I'd encourage you to turn there, verse 13, Paul was doing these miracles, and there was these exorcists, these sorcerers. There were seven brothers, and they decided, wow, this Jesus thing is powerful. So Acts 19, verse 13, they took upon to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches, to leave this person. And this evil spirit says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you, right? When you do things for the Lord, you have to do them his way. These evil people tried to do what Paul was doing, and you know what happened in that story? You read on, these evil spirits ended up jumping on them. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. What I'm saying is we have to serve God his way. Matthew 7 is still the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' instruction to his disciples, to his church. He sits down in the mountain with his disciples, to his church. And before that ends, he says this. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. We're not talking about getting into heaven itself. We're talking about the kingdom and being rewarded for service. Not everyone is going to get to rule and reign with me, is what Jesus says. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Except he strive lawfully, right? Doeth the will, saying the same thing. Doing the will of God, doing it lawfully. And it goes on here, and it says, verse 22, many will say in my day, or in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name. In thy name we've cast out devils. In thy name we've done wonderful works. And I am going to profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And it's kind of interesting. Jesus says, these people do all these things in my name, right? There's a lot of people, and maybe they're saved, maybe they're, I don't know, that's going around doing things in the name of Jesus, and they don't know who. Paul I know, Jesus I know. Just because we do it in the name of Jesus doesn't mean we're doing it in the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus in Matthew 28 said unto his church, go ye therefore, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I have power, and I've given you this authority. You are to go and do this. Where two or three are gathered together, I am there in the midst. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. These are things that he has promised, right? This is lawful, but there's a lot of people that go out and do all these things, start their own churches, start their own religion, start their own. They have no connection. They claim the name of Jesus, but they don't have the authority of Jesus. And when we talk about church authority, and when we talk about the, I believe that we should all be obedient to Jesus Christ, and the lawful way to do that is through his church that he started. Someone once asked, why didn't Jesus give his church the name, a name? And if he would have, everyone would have claimed it, right? We don't know the name, but we know what his church looked like. We know what his church believed. We know what they taught. We know how they acted. Amen. Yet he is not crowned. You can do the work, right? That lady in the Boston Marathon ran quite a few miles, not all the miles, but if you don't do it lawfully, right? There's lots of things that we can do today that we don't get credit for it if we don't do it lawfully. It's kind of interesting. I assume you wouldn't go to Costco or buy Martha's or membership and argue with them that they should let you in because you don't have a membership. We do things in, you know, lawfully because we know we have to. And yet, in our spiritual life, oftentimes we think, well, the Lord will overlook it. The Lord says he has a plan, and he doesn't say, do whatever you want and I will honor it. He says, do what I want. Do actually what he says, do what the Father wants, right? Because that's what Jesus is our example, and Jesus didn't just come and do what he wanted. He came to do the bidding of the Father so that we could understand that we can be obedient as Jesus was obedient, doing the will of the Father, not our will. And many are going to say, but Lord, I worked so hard. Lord, I did so much. And he's going to say, if you'd have only done it and extended all that energy the way I asked you to, right? And he's going to say, depart. You're not going to get to enjoy the kingdom, the rewards, no crown, victor's crown, without striving lawfully. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Now you're in heaviness. You have temptation. You have difficulties. Trial, verse 7, trials of faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though be tried with fire. This is the part I want you to get. Might be found unto the praise and honor and glory unto the appearing of Jesus Christ. Remember what it said in Hebrews 2, verse 7 and verse 9, how God had crowned him, and what did it crown him? With honor and glory, because he was obedient and died for us and got the victory for us. And it says if we are obedient and suffer these trials and faith and do these things, that we might be found unto the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I think this verse fits there. It says, when Jesus gave out the talents, right, and it was literally money to be invested, and those that did it lawfully, what did he say unto them? His Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The victor's crown, we are going to get crowns, and we're going to talk about that. But you know what I think we're going to appreciate more than something we get in heaven? I think we're going to appreciate the praise, honor, and glory. I think we're going to appreciate when Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast. No man take thy crown. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So, you know, we can get a partial reward, and there's all kinds of things. It needs to be done lawfully in obedience to the will of God. Philippians 3, Paul talks about this. Not have already obtained. I'm not perfect. I'm striving for perfection. Verse 12, verse 13, I count not myself to be apprehended, to have gotten there yet. How do I do it? Forgetting those things which are behind, pressing, reaching for those things before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize. That word literally means the victory crown, the prize of a contest. That's what Paul says. I'm pressing toward that, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We can work together. Brother David and I can help each other and serve the Lord, encourage each other. But he won't be rewarded based upon me, and I won't be rewarded based upon him. We can help each other, we can encourage one another, but I am rewarded based upon my labor. He'll be rewarded based upon his labor and how he serves the Lord according to God's will. If any man work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. The Bible talks about five crowns. I'm not going to go into them a lot. The other thing that we're rewarded, I believe, is robes of righteousness. The bride is going, I think that's another reward. His church, the faithful of the Lord's church, will be part of the bride of Christ, become the wife of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb. And there we see they are robed, clothed in robes of righteousness, which is the righteous deeds of the saints, correct deeds, obedience of the saints, serving God. Not going to focus on that this morning. I just want to talk about the five crowns because that's what we're talking about. Victor's crown. Jesus won the victory. We can be victorious through him in being obedient to him if we strive lawfully. And there are five: incorruptible crown, victor's crown, being faithful. 1 Corinthians 9, 24, the crown that we get is incorruptible. Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertain. So I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. One of the things Paul talks about in a couple of places is that, you know, we can do lots of things in service of the Lord, and then in the end, we can go off and stop serving the Lord and not get a full reward, or maybe even no reward. And the other thing, we can help others come to know Christ and they start serving the Lord and get a reward, but yet we ourselves not receive a reward. And so he talks about this incorruptible crown, which is serving faithfully, victor's crown, faithfully unto the end. The second is crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. And that talks about soul winning. Are not even in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, for these are our hope and joy that have been won. So those that are good at winning people to the Lord, I don't know what that number is. It's kind of interesting. Remember the sower sowing seed? And some are on the wayside, and the birds come and take it before it plants in the heart, and then some on take root but doesn't last very long. I think those are saved people, but don't ever serve the Lord. And then there are some with the weeds get choked. They serve for a while. But those that take root, right? And one thing it says that they bring this 30-fold, 60-fold, whatever those numbers are. I think it's talking about, you know, winning others, telling others about Jesus and being instrumental in other people's life in serving the Lord. Don't know what that number is, just being obedient. I think the number is different for each of us. What God requires of each of us isn't the same. Crown of life, martyr's crown. I like what Revelations 2, verse 8, it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in a prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulations 10 days. But thou, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And we see some other verses in Revelation about those who are martyred for the cause of Christ. I've heard people say, don't know if I would die for Christ. Here's the thing. Nowhere does he ask us to die for him. He asks us to live for him. And in living for him, we may be required to die for him. But if you won't live for him, you won't die for him. So we need to be obedient to Jesus Christ. And the everything else will take care of itself. And the fourth one, crown of righteousness. This is a faithful, being faithful. 2 Timothy, I fought a good fight. I finished course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And then the fifth one is the elder's crown, or the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear talking to pastors, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And again, every one of these is a victor's crown, not a king's crown, right? So it's kind of interesting in being obedient and winning the victory through Jesus Christ. And then it's kind of interesting. So when Jesus comes back at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to get judged, 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, I'm not sure which verse, it says we will be judged, the judgment seat of Christ, all those saved, for whatsoever we've done, whether it be good or bad. We're all going to have to give an account. And it's kind of interesting, once we get all these crowns, right, whether we get one, whether we get five, whatever we get, I think whatever we get and whatever we don't get, because Jesus is going to be a righteous judge, we will be okay with, right? What do we do then with those crowns? I think it's kind of interesting. Now, I have a 2 or 3 page thing of who these 24 elders is, and I think they represent the church, the faithful of the church, and the faithful of Israel. That's why they have crowns. I'm not going to go into that. I think it's kind of interesting when we see what happens here. And round about the throne, there's these 24 seats. And upon the seats, 24 elders sitting, clothed in right raiment. So these are people who have been judged, right? Right deeds of the saints, righteous deeds of the saints. They've been judged. They've gotten rewards. And they had on their head crowns. They've been rewarded with crowns also. And these are gold. Doesn't matter what they are, but 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. Remember that verse that said that when he comes back, that if we're obedient, we will receive glory, honor, and power? And well done, thou good and faithful servant. But we do it because the victory's through him, and we're going to just throw him back in honor of him. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we throw them at his feet. So now what happens to all those crowns, right? Well, if we go to Revelation 19 and we see in heaven there's this white horse. This is Jesus Christ, and then that set upon it called faithful and true and righteousness. And it says, and his saints are going to come with him also, and this is where the Battle of Armageddon happens, and Jesus is going to put his feet on Mount of Olives, and it's going to break in two, and he's going to set up his millennial kingdom and rule and reign 1,000 years. And as he comes on this white horse, it says his eyes were a flame of fire. And I don't have time to read all of what he is, but I want you to see on his heads are many crowns. Where did he get the crowns? I think it's those that we threw at his feet. Now remember, what we threw at his feet was the victor's crown. But now the word here is diadem. He is king and victory, and he has many crowns that he has taken the victory and became king. And then it goes on in the last description of him is on his vesture and on his thigh is a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have victory through Jesus Christ. If the pianist and song leader come forward, let's all stand. How are you doing in your relationship with the Lord? Do you know him as your Savior? Are you being obedient? Are you serving lawfully the way that the Word of God describes? Are we helping others do that? We have victory through Jesus Christ. We can do the will of God. What page do you have for us?